Good morning. Everyone awake? It is good to see you this morning. We are so glad to have you here. JJ pointed it out, but we do have a lot of guests. Guests, we're honored to have you. We would love to have you come back and be a part of this church. And if you are a guest, there's great ways to get connected and get involved. Classes on Sunday mornings, come and show up. Those start at 9-ish, 10, 9:15, depending on the class. Some are right on time, but either way, it's a great way to get connected. On Sunday nights, we have life groups, home groups throughout the city, and we would love to have you involved in that. And let me encourage, if you are a member and you're a part of a life group, when the service is over, look around, and if you see a new face, one, introduce yourself, and two, make sure they know about your life group. Give them an invitation. That's some of the best ways for folks to be able to get connected. Well, JJ mentioned this morning that many of us have been in grief this week with the passing of Danny Burleson. Some of you don't know Danny, but Danny, his name is in stone on the sign out in front of the building. He is the founding minister, founding preacher of this church when this church started in 1989. This church has had two preachers, and Danny started this church and preached until I think 2002 when he stepped down from full-time ministry and preaching, and this church owes a lot to him. I got a text this morning from Mary Ann, Danny's wife, and she wanted me to read. And this is what she says: "I would like to thank our Chenal family for all the support. My love, Mary Ann." Now, if you know Mary Ann, that is very Mary Ann. It is short and sweet. And if it was Danny saying it this morning, he'd be going on for 20 more minutes making this announcement. And it would be hilarious, and he would tell a story that you've heard 10 times, and it's just as funny because he never tells the same story the same way twice. And we love Danny. So some of you, I realize, did not know Danny. And some of you didn't know Danny as the preacher at the church. Those who look at churches and study churches will tell you that churches turn over about 50% of their membership every 7 years. And it's been about 14 years since he's been here. And I know a lot of you came after Danny's time when he was preacher. Some of you were here while he served as an elder, or he got up many Sundays, most Sundays, and made announcements. And so you still had the benefit of that. Some of you may not have known that the last 4 years or so, Danny had had some health challenges that made him decide to step down as an elder and step down from being up front. And he had just started to feel better over the last year, year and a half, and enough so that when an opportunity opened up for him to work a few hours a week at Windsong and do what he is so good at, he took that opportunity, and that church was blessed by his service. So I say all this to say that when the news came down this week, I decided to call an audible from what I had planned for this morning. So if you've been with us, you may know that we've been in the middle of a sermon series about spiritual disciplines, exercises that we can take on, that we can practice, spiritual exercises that help us grow and deepen in our faith. And what I had planned for this morning, I'm going to get to sometime soon. Instead, I want to shift. I'm going to touch on a subject that I was eventually going to get to, and that is service, but we're going to do it in a different way this morning, because oftentimes the best sermons we ever hear and experience are the sermons in the form of a life well lived, and that is Danny Burleson. And so rather than me sharing a few stories this morning, I've asked a couple of folks in our church to share a little bit about Danny. And some of you didn't know him, but I promise you will be blessed by these stories. And we're reminded in Scripture that often when we see a life well lived in God, it's not just that we're honoring that person, it's that people turn around and honor God in the process. They glorify God, and that's ultimately what we will do. That in hearing a few stories, my hope is we turn around and we glorify God for a life well lived, and also that at the end we are inspired to be better people, to be more faithful in our walk with God because we remembered one who was faithful in his walk. So I'm going to get up and say a few things at the very end, but I've asked three different people to share. Two of them are lifelong friends, and Gary Adams is going to share second, and then Kent Westbrook is going to share last. But first I asked Jill Childers if she would come up and share, because she represents one of a number of people who came to Chenal in the early days, shortly out of college, and they have a different perspective and experience of the ministry that Danny offered to young couples and young families and young people who came. And so she's going to share a few minutes, and then Gary Adams is going to share, and then Kent Westbrook is going to share, and then I'll come back up at the end. So, Jill, let me invite you up.
Well, when Bert first asked me to speak about Danny, I just felt like I wasn't necessarily right for the job because I know there are people that knew Danny better than I did. But Bert asked me to think about it, and the more I reflected on it, the more I realized that Danny had impacted my life so significantly that I became eager to share with you the impact that he had, and eager to honor him, and just to let you know how God used Danny to change my life. JJ and I first visited Chenal in 1994, and we'd been married a couple years when we came, and we came to this place, and well, it wasn't this place, because this building wasn't here yet. It was the middle building, and that was the only building on the property, and the building itself wasn't fancy. It was simple. It wasn't necessarily attractive, but yet we were very attracted to this place. This place was attractive to us. There was just something special about it. It was the atmosphere, and I just believe that the Holy Spirit was in this place, and that the Holy Spirit was working through Danny Burleson. Danny was larger than life. He was warm and welcoming. He was relatable. He was charming. He truly was one of a kind. He had a love for people. He had a love for all people. He had this unique ability to connect with people from all walks of life. He made people feel special. And I think it's because to Danny, everyone was special. Everyone was truly special. He had a heart for the outcast, the sinner, the lost, the disenfranchised. And in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about the shepherd that had 100 sheep, and one of those sheep wanders away. And the shepherd leaves the 99, and he goes to look for the one who's wandered away. And I know that's the story of Jesus, our good shepherd, but in Christ's likeness, I believe that's the story of Danny Burleson. Danny was always after the one who had wandered away. He would find them, and he was able to reach them and reach people that no one else could. And that brings me to how Danny changed my life personally. Danny changed my life because he changed the life of my husband. You know him, and you know he can kind of be a rascal. But back then, he wasn't real interested in church, but he much preferred and often did sleep in on a Sunday morning and just feel like church wasn't too much for him, and maybe he just didn't really belong in church. But Danny was able to reach JJ. He was able to draw him in. And not just partway in, Danny would draw you all the way in, because Danny felt like everybody had a job to do, that everybody had work to do at church. And so he got you busy, because with Danny, there was no sitting on the sidelines. And if you weren't there one Sunday morning, Danny was going to go looking for you. God gifted Danny, and he used Danny to help build this church. He built it with people from all walks of life. To Danny, this was not just a church, this was family. Everyone was welcome. Everyone belonged. Everyone had a job to do. No application necessary. No excuse that you aren't good enough or gifted enough or that you hadn't been a member here long enough. This was church. This was family, and this family needed you. And so that's what it was like back in the day, back when we were the young people at this church, when we were experiencing new highs and new lows, often new experiences for the first times in our lives, joys and heartbreaks that life was bringing. Danny was our rock in those times. He celebrated our victories, our marriages, our baptisms, our babies. He was always going to visit. He would visit every new baby in the hospital. So we would often laugh because Danny was going to be there no matter what, almost always the morning after, and 6:30, because Danny was an early riser. So ready or not for company, there Danny was. But he also walked with us through our heartbreaks, through those times when we were rocked by trials and experiencing losses, through deaths, through job losses, through friends moving away, infertility, marriage troubles. Danny was there. Danny, yes, he was our preacher, but he was so much more than that. Danny was our friend. And I believe that God appoints us, each of us, to a place in history, that he sets us in a time and he sets us in a place, and that he has a purpose to use us to draw people to himself. Danny Burleson fulfilled that place in history. Danny drew people to God. We are here today still seeing the lasting effects of Danny's work. We're still a church that loves people. We're still a family. Praise God for Danny Burleson. What a blessing he was.
I'll be serious for just 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'm going to not be quite so serious. Thank you, Jill, for those nice words. Kind of starting off, in 1984, Dr. A.J. Thompson, a cardiologist here in Little Rock, had this vision. And that vision was to start a new Church of Christ out in West Little Rock. Unfortunately, in the early 80s, A.J. passed away. Kent Westbrook, myself, and Danny talked about it, and we decided that we wanted to further that vision of AJ's. So September of 1990, there were 10 of us, and we initially met in my house, and we had a little worship service on a Sunday evening. Now, my house wasn't nearly as big as Kent and Johnny's house. So as we grew, we had to move to Kent and Johnny's house. And we stayed there for a number of years. Not a number of years, but a number of weeks, till we grew to about 30 or 40 people, and then we outgrew Johnny and Kent's house. So that's when we went out to Highway 10, and we were there for a period of time. We asked the landlord if we could knock a wall down inside the house, and he said, have at it. And we grew to about 90 people, maybe 95, and then we had to look for another place. In March of 1991, Kent and Danny found the building up here, which we named the Michael Worthen Children's Learning Center. And when we first got into that building, it was a mess. A lot of you here roll your sleeves up, and you got in there and cleaned that place up. And I think it was June of 91 is when we had our first meeting in that building. We continued to grow very rapidly, and decided that we needed to have a building committee. And I think the last service that we had up there, we had about 300 people that was here for that last service. And then, of course, in March the 26th, 1995, we moved to this beautiful facility that we have today. I'd always wondered why Danny gave up what he had in Dallas Danny was on staff of a church there in Dallas, Highland Oaks Church of Christ. And there were about 3,300 members. But he decided to give that up to come here with a tremendous pay cut, with no guarantees. And I often thought about, wonder why he did that. Let me tell you two or three reasons why I think Danny did that. I think he had talents that he felt like he wasn't using at Highland Oaks. He believed he could come to Little Rock and bring people that maybe had been churchgoers at one time but had gotten away from it, get them back in, interested in church work. You see, Danny is a people person, as Jill said, a caring person. He cares about me. He cares about you. He's touched the lives of so many people, not only here in Little Rock, not only in our church, but other places also. I know before we decided to start this church, Kent and I talked about it, and we decided we needed to go to Dallas and meet with Highland Oaks. And we needed to let them know that we wanted to take one of their preachers that was on staff away from them and bring them to Little Rock. And we went in the elders meeting that afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon, and since it was a big congregation, they had a lot of elders. And we went in there, and we made our little 20-25-minute presentation. And a couple of their elders got so enthused about what we were doing, they said, we would like to support you in this endeavor. We want to pay you some money. And we walked out, and never will forget it. Kent turned to me, and he said, Gary, he says, they didn't put much up of a fight to keep Danny, did they? I said, no, Kent, they didn't. It was almost like they were kind of happy for us to take him away from us. My very best friend in the whole wide world was Danny Burleson. Kent Westbrook will tell you that Danny Burleson was his very best friend in the whole wide world. A lot of people can say that about Danny. I'd like to share just a couple of quick stories. I told you I wasn't going to be too serious all the time. Most of you know, if you're in my Sunday school class, where I'm from. Where am I from? Piggott. That's right. 1984. That's 33 years ago. My mother and my dad were getting in very poor health, and I needed to move them closer to me, so I moved them to Little Rock. And I was telling Danny about it, and he said, I'm going to come up, and I'm going to help you move. So we went out here, and we got us a U-Haul. We headed up to Piggott, and Danny hadn't been to my house. We didn't go to Piggott. We went through Piggott to get to where I lived, which is out in the country, about 7 miles out. And my mother and my dad and had three sisters, and they had already pretty well gotten everything put together, and so we start loading up this U-Haul. Well, my sisters bring my parents to Little Rock before Danny and I and Butch Burnett was helping us also got finished. The last thing my mother told me before she left to leave where they lived all their lives was, be sure and bring my two cats when y'all come. I said, no, not a problem, Mom, not a problem. So we get everything loaded in the U-Haul. Danny says, let's get back to Little Rock. And I said, well, we've got to go out and find these two cats of my mother's. And I knew where they were. They were out in the barn. So we go out. It's almost getting dark. We got a flashlight, and we're shining. And I say, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Now, you'll have to remember, Danny doesn't. He never did like cats very well. But this one little cat just came running right up to him. I mean, he almost jumped into his arms. We got that cat, and we put it in the U-Haul. And then we said, well, we got another cat we got to find. So we go back out to the barn, and we go, kitty, 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 kitty. Shine that light, and oh, I could see those two eyes. I said, Danny, it's right over there. So he gets over there, and he looks around. It wasn't a cat. It was a possum. I said, well, we can't take the possum. We got to find this cat. And there it is right there. I said, Danny, there it is. It's under that box right there. So Danny goes over. True story. All my stories are true, by the way. He reaches down there, and that cat just attacks him. It just scratched his arms. Now, If we weren't here, I could tell you exactly what Danny said, but... but he said a couple words I hadn't heard in a long time. Scratched his hands all up. Well, I go out and I get a pillowcase out of the U-Haul, and we put that cat in a pillowcase. That cat rode all the way from Pickett, Arkansas to Little Rock in that pillowcase. We get to Little Rock, and I put those two cats in the, what do you call that little room where you do all your laundry, the storage room or the laundry room. About 3 days later, when my mother got to feeling a little better, she said, Gary, she said, did y'all get my cats? I said, yes, ma'am, we did. I said, one of them is not too happy about being a city cat, though. She said, I'd like to see my cat. So I got the nice cat first, and I took it in. It just kind of crawled around on my mother's bed, and she petted it. She said, well, how about my other cat? And I said, well, that's the one that's kind of mean. So I went and got it, and I had to get it by the nape of the neck to carry it because it was hissing. And got it in the bedroom, and she looked at that cat, and she said, oh, my goodness, that's not my cat. She said, that's the neighbor's cat. So I had to call the neighbor, and she said, yeah, I know, y'all's cat's still up here. One other quick story. I told this, but this is a typical Danny story. Back in June of several years ago, I can't remember the exact year, but one of my friends asked me if I thought Danny would do she and her husband's wedding. And I said, sure, he'd be glad to. And I said, when is it? She said, it's June the 30th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said, no, Danny's not going to do your wedding on June the 30th because he and I are playing in the Hot Springs Country Club floorball. And she says, well, so you don't think you'll do my wedding? And I said, not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So she said, well, how about 10 o'clock in the morning? And I said, that'll probably work. So I told Danny. Danny said, yeah, we'll do it. I tell you what, it was out here on the Arkansas River in a boat. It was absolutely a gorgeous morning. We get out there on that river. And since I was kind of Danny's assistant in some weddings, he let me do the prayer. And I prayed. Pinnacle Mountains in the background. Danny does his service. I think he abbreviated a little bit because we were a little bit concerned we were going to make our tea time. But he pronounced Betty, Carol, and Ray, husband and wife. And I look over at Ray, and he's getting ready to put a kiss on his new bride. It's what you normally do. But Danny didn't do that. He said, you know, I have married a lot of beautiful brides over the years. And I've always had an urge just to kiss one of them. And I think I'm going to do that right now. True story. He bent down and he kissed Betty Carol on the cheek. And then he looked at me and he said, you're my assistant. Would you like to kiss the bride? I said, I don't mind if I do. So I kissed her on the other cheek. By this time, poor old Ray, he doesn't know whether he's been married, he doesn't know whether he's single, he doesn't know what's going on. And then Danny says, Ray, you may now kiss your bride. You know, I thought about that. Who in the world, other than Danny Burleson, could have pulled that off and gotten away with it? I don't know. Danny Burleson loved life. He loved his family. He loved people. But most of all, Danny loved God. Through Danny, God touched more lives than any of us will ever know. On many occasions, you would hear Danny say, I've heard him say this so many times, I hope I never grow up. And at age 74, Danny was still a kid. Danny, I'm going to really, really miss you. But I promise you one thing. This is where I'm going to get real serious. As long as I'm still on this earth, I'm going to do all I can to get to heaven and be with my best friend, Danny Burleson. And I'm going to try to take as many people with me as I possibly can. I'm going to miss him. I want to do one other thing, and I'll be done. Yesterday, I went out to Pleasant Valley Country Club, where Danny was a member for a few years. We played a lot of golf together over the years. This was Danny's sandwich. And I lost my sandwich, and Danny gave me his. It still has his name on it, D. Burleson. This thing's probably 25, 26 years old. In the Men's Grill, Pleasant Valley Country Club, in 2007, there's a little deal on the wall. It says, Pleasant Valley Country Club, 2007 Senior Club Champion, Danny Big Bird Burleson. Now, there's something else underneath that, and I'm going to tell you what that was. 10 years ago, when Danny won the senior championship at Pleasant Valley, he hit this shot. It was in a playoff. He hit this shot, and it looked like his ball, I was there, I saw it, going to go out of bounds. It hit a post way over in the woods, and that thing ricocheted back out into the fairway. Danny went up. Everybody else thought the ball was going to be out of bounds. He goes up, hits a shot up on the green, makes the putt for a birdie, and he is the 2010 champion at Pleasant Valley Country Club. But underneath that inscription, Danny Big Bird Burleson, 2007 Senior Club Championship, by divine intervention. You know, I got to do something one more last time. In honor of the Big Bird. You know, one time he stood up here, and remember that time he bounced the ball? And I can't do it, but he would. He'd bounce that thing, and someone said, I think it might have been Kent. Sounds like he's spending way too much time on the golf course to be doing that. I'll tell you one thing, Danny influenced more people outside of church than he did in church. He had that knack. I'm going to do something. I'm going to hit one more shot for the Big Bird. I don't know if I'm quite as accurate as he was, but y'all right back here, y'all be careful.
As preachers tend to say, our time has come and gone almost. And Bert, it's dangerous to have me up here with a microphone and no specific time limit and no notes. So I don't know where I'm going to go or what I'm going to say. But Danny Burleson was a great friend of mine and of this church and of everybody in the world. And I'm going to be pretty serious today. I could tell you funny stories about Danny all day. But I just want to tell you two or three things that he was very serious about. He was very serious about children and the importance of teaching children and the importance of children in the church. He loved nothing more than to hold a new baby up here and say, this is our brand newest member. He loved going to the day school and getting down on the floor with the little kids and actually just playing with them. And one of the things he would always tell these children, do your duty, do your duty. He didn't make it real complicated. It was just do your duty. And Danny did his duty. At his funeral, the person who led the singing was, who was it, Johnny? I'm forgetting the name.
Greg Sublett.
Greg Sublett was our first youth minister and our first song leader here. We had a lot of trouble with Greg Sublett. Greg Sublett was like these song leaders that we didn't realize what they were like. They wanted to sing new songs. They didn't want to wear a coat and tie. I'm not even sure he wore shoes and socks. Greg now does a very important ministry in North Little Rock. Keith Lape, who was our second youth minister, is over in North Little Rock. Danny inspired those guys. But Greg came to the funeral in a coat and tie, and I mean dressed really fancy. And I said, Greg, I haven't seen you dress this way. He said, this is out of respect for Danny. And that just shows you the influence that Danny had on people. There was times when Danny and I would disagree on things. One of the things we kind of disagreed on at times was religion and science. You know, Danny said he wanted to have a simple childlike faith. And that was in keeping Gary, where did Gary go? In keeping with his idea of always being a child. He didn't make theology real complicated. And one of the stories he told me in relation to this, and some of you have heard me tell it, was that Danny was at a small church in South Arkansas in a men's class. And they got to talking about evolution and creation and DNA and all that kind of stuff. And one of the brothers said, you know, it bothers me. He said, we may just be better off ignorant. And Danny said they called on another brother to lead a prayer. And he said, God, just make us ignoranter and ignoranter. And my addition to that when Danny would tell it was, and his prayer was answered before it reached the ceiling. Danny took people where they were, but he tried to get them to where he wanted them to go, which was to be involved in the church and go to heaven. And one of the things he would say frequently was, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. It's not what you've done, it's what you're doing. And those are important concepts. And Danny was always going about doing good. I'll tell you one other little story that I haven't thought of in a long time, and I don't know why I thought of it today. Danny and I would go fishing a lot, and I could tell you fishing stories about him being scared of snakes and lures getting caught in my arm that he nearly passed out when he tried to take it out. But one day, he and I were going to go, and he told me, stop here at Walmart, stop here at Walmart. So I stopped at Walmart in North Little Rock. Danny had on his little straw hat and his Bermuda shorts. His legs were not very big. As Gary pointed out, they called him Big Bird. It was not because of his beak or anything. It's because he had little legs and a pretty big body. But he said, let me go in here in Walmart. I won't be 5 minutes. Well, it was 30 or 40 minutes before he came out. I'm sure he ran into three or four people that he knew and got to talking to them, maybe about serious things, maybe about not serious things. Danny came out and got in the truck. I said, well, Danny, it's about time you got back. Well, you know, and I said, we're going to have to call in and cancel the alert. And he said, what alert's that? And I said, well, I called in an Amber Alert. I said, I wanted people to watch for little Danny Burleson. He was 6'5", 250 pounds, straw hat, and Bermuda shorts. And I had not called in an alert, but it was a joke. But you know, sometimes you knew where Danny was, and sometimes you didn't know where Danny was. I think now we all know where Danny is. Danny is with the Lord. Danny is with the Lord. And he wants more than anything for all of us and all of the people we influence to be there with him someday. Amen.
Passages before we close. They'll both be on the screen, and they both remind me of Danny. Both come from the Gospel of Matthew. Both are in the Sermon on the Mount. And at first glance, if you read them individually, they're both powerful, and you put them together and they sound almost contradictory. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Next chapter, 6:1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So the first passage talks about living your life like a city on a hill, like a light that is so bright that people cannot help but see it. In fact, we get a song that a lot of us learned as kids. You don't hide that light. You let it shine. And then the next passage says, now don't do your deeds where others can see them. Instead, do them in secret. Be generous in private. Those who do it where others can see, they've received their reward. No, you want to live the kind of life where you're constantly living out your love, but the left hand doesn't even know what the right hand is doing. Now, you're used to me contradicting myself within the same sermon, so that's not a surprise, but from Jesus, it might be a little unsettling. Well, do we live out loud the city on a hill, kind of light for all to see? Or the secret service where no one knows about it but God in heaven? It almost seems like a paradox, doesn't it? Except if you know people like Danny Burleson, who did both at the same time. He's the one that lets me know it is possible to live a city on a hill, bright light for all to see kind of life, that is filled with acts of service that no one knows about, and yet God in heaven knows. I could tell all kinds of stories. I left that to everyone else this morning. They may show up at other times during sermons. But I can tell you that if you show up at a church that has only had one preacher from the beginning, and you're the new preacher, and you're 30, see, his best friends didn't cry. You knew I would. I had some of our members catch me at the service. They said, are you doing anything at the service? I said, not this time. And they said, that's a good thing. You couldn't make it through. You guys know me well. So to show up as a 30-year-old and the one who's been here from the beginning is there, that can go one of two ways. And I know a lot of horror stories from ministers who the previous minister is still around, and it's a difficult situation. But Danny was a blessing to me from the very beginning. And he continued to play an important part in this church, and he continued to play an important part up front, but he also played an important part to us as a family, and to me through all my ministry here. And there was a number of occasions where I'd go to shake his hand, and I would pull back, and there would be money in my hand. And he'd say, now you take care of your wife. You take her out. You treat her right. Just little acts of love and kindness and service that all of you who knew him know and you experienced. I don't remember if it was Gary or Dr. Westbrook who said it, but I think it was Kent who who reminded us one of his favorite phrases was, do your duty, go and do your duty. He would show up. I never knew when he was coming to the office, and I never knew when he was leaving, but he'd just show up. It was like Melchizedek. He was here, and he was gone, and he was here, and he was gone. And he'd wander into the office one day. He'd sit down, see how I was doing. He'd crack me up for a few minutes, and then he'd say, do your duty, and he would leave. And so that's my encouragement to you as a church, to live a shining city on a hill, bright light, love out loud, where others can see kind of life that is filled with secret service that most don't see, because it's not just something that you do, it's who you are, and you live it every moment of every day.